Our scripture today is from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 12. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 12 to 18. Let's pray. We thank you for this word which we're about to read together, for this show of grace which helps us to remember that you are indeed currently involved in our lives, acting and working, and Lord, we praise you for that. We ask you that you open up our hearts, our minds, to receive this, your word, and we also pray for your blessing upon the expounding of the word. May that too be pleasing to you and used for your glory. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12 to 18. Hear now God's word. As Hannah continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace. The Lord God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." Then the woman went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This might be cheaper than hearing aids, by the way. We'll get to that first in a second. All right, so most of you know my family makeup. And I've referred to my siblings a few times throughout our nearly 8 years together. But just as a reminder, I have three siblings, two brothers and a sister. My one brother's name is Jacob. Now, Jacob, of course, is a great biblical name. It's a name for the man in the Bible who was born a twin. Esau was his brother. Jacob was considered a trickster, and also eventually was renamed Israel. He had many, many sons, and those sons were the basis for the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob. My other brother's name is Caleb. Familiar with the story of Caleb? Caleb in the Bible was a friend of Joshua. After they had entered the promised land, or right before they entered the promised land, Joshua was in charge. They sent spies, and prior to Joshua being involved. But anyway, they sent spies in the promised land just to check it out and see if they can conquer it. And all the spies came back, and only Caleb said, "If God is on our side, we can do this. Whatever God wants can be accomplished." So Caleb was amongst the very few of the original that made it into the promised land because of his faith in God. Now, Hannah, my sister, her namesake, we read here. A woman who's could bear no children, prayed to God, trusted in God's goodness, and was given a child in Samuel, who was amongst the first and one of the greatest of the prophets. And Samuel lived in Israel and did many great things. Now, Justin, are you familiar with Justin's story in the Bible? No, neither am I. And I have teased my parents relentlessly about this for the past 42 years. They were going to name me Luke, but named me Justin instead. It was not a very popular name at that time, and it sounded cool, And so she thought, you know, I'll give him a unique name and name me Justin. It just so happened that every mother that year named their child Justin. And so it's not quite as rare these days. Regardless, my sister Hannah, her namesake, my sister being raised with three brothers is extremely tough, resilient, and her faith in God is clear and sure. She does her namesake proud. Hannah, the story, many of you may know it already, but if you don't know it, I need to share with you the context of it because it's important to what's happening right here. In that day and age, a woman's place was in the home. Her job was to take care of the home, to provide food and to make sure that the home is clean, and also to provide children. That was her lot in life. That was her purpose. And providing children was her greatest purpose. They were proud. Women were proud back in that day when they could provide their husband multiple children, especially sons. What children meant to the family was workers. If you needed people to help out around the farm or with the herd, you had kids. And those kids took care of all that was going on. And they were part of that livelihood. And if a woman couldn't provide for that, she wasn't doing her job. Hannah felt that bitter sting. She felt like she was a failure. She was miserable. Elkanah, I believe that's his name, was her husband, and he had another wife. Her name was Pamon. I know you might be looking for his name, but it's not in this scripture. It's prior to this. Pamon had three kids. And she was so snobby about it because she, you know, she felt good. She was doing her job. And she would constantly berate Hannah and do the best that she could in order to make her life miserable. Elkanah, on the other hand, loved Hannah with his whole heart. Every time they went down to the temple to pray, which was a yearly process, they would sacrifice to God, and then they would take the meat that was sacrificed. And Elkanah would give the share of meat to Pamon and her children, but to Hannah he would give a double portion. Hannah was miserable though because she, again, wanted children badly. She would complain to Elkanah, and his words to her were something like this: "Why? Aren't I enough for you? You don't need anyone else. Nothing else. I love you as you are, and I desire nothing more from you." But Hannah's desire for children grew all the more. She went to the temple this year, and she bowed down at the front of the temple, and Eli, the priest at the time, was watching, and Hannah was pouring out her heart to God. From the very depths of her soul, she was telling God her hopes and her dreams, which is for a child. Now, in that day, if good things happen, they thank God. If bad things happen, they attribute it to God. And in the scriptures prior to this, it said that God shut Hannah's womb. And so she prayed to God for it to be open again. She was so earnest that she knelt down at the front and she clasped her hands and she prayed, mouthing the words. Eli thought she was drunk. But she said to him, "I'm not. I just really, really, really need this. I really want this." Eli's words to her, her prayer, I got to say first, in verse 16, I love this scripture. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all the time. I love the description of how Hannah felt in this moment. Anxiety and vexation. They're so appropriate. They fit so well. She wasn't living the way she thought she should be living. She wasn't fulfilling her duty. It caused her anxiety. How many people can relate to that feeling? You don't feel like you're quite good enough. You don't feel like you're you're able to get it done, and so you feel anxious. But it doesn't just end there. She feels vexation. That's such a great word. Vexation, frustrated. She doesn't understand why she doesn't work the way she feels like she should. She doesn't know what the problem is. She can't fix it. The great thing about the best things about problems is fixing them. But she's vexed. I can't do this, Lord. I don't know what's going on. I need help. She cries out to God in this silent voice. But I feel her anxiety and vexation. How many people have laid in bed staring up at the ceiling, praying for sleep to come, but the mind is racing so much when you look at the clock, it's 3 a.m. Then you close your eyes and you open them again, you look at the clock and it's 3:02. And the mind is still racing, you can't shut it off, and you're just pleading to God, what can I do? After the prayer was done, Eli came up to her, and after chiding her about being drunk, and she explained herself, he then says this, in a pastoral way, go in peace, he says, the God of Israel grant the petition you have made. I love her response. Let your servant find favor in your sight, she says. Then Hannah went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. Did she get pregnant in this moment? No, she gets pregnant in the next next verse. Verse 19, her husband knew her and she bore a son, it says. But her countenance wasn't sad during that time. At this time, this is when it changed. What happened? She didn't become pregnant in that moment. It reminds me of a story. I might have shared this with you long ago. The story is this. It's about a seminary professor of mine who was preaching at a seminar outside, I believe. And for some reason, I have a picture of a beach. But down south, he was preaching outside a seminar. And he was talking about prayer. And in his seminar about prayer, he told the people that prayer is a moment where we connect with God. And God desires to know our hearts, what's ever on them, to hold nothing back, to share all that you are. If you're joyful, if you're happy, share that. If you're anxious and vexing, share that. God just wants us beside God. And that is prayer. And there's a woman who, after the seminar, she's standing down front, and every pastor knows what that means. It means that they want to talk to you. So he's collecting his paper and walks down the front to this woman. She's an older woman, and she looked at the seminary professor, and she said to him, "Does God really want to know what's on my heart?" And he said, yeah, God wants to know everything that's on your heart. She said, "Are you sure God really wants to know what I'm feeling?" He said, "Yeah, God wants to know, wants you to share all of it." She said, "Are you sure? Because a month ago, my son died tragically and suddenly." And he said, a week after that, my husband followed suit. "Are you sure God wants to know what I'm thinking?" And he said, "Yes." She said, "Okay." So she left. He was curious about this exchange and so followed her at a distance and just to make sure she was okay. And she went to her car and she unlocked the car and she opened the door. And she took a deep breath. And she threw her hands up into the sky and she looked up. She took another deep breath and she yelled quietly three words, the same words repeated over again, words that I can't share here today because we have young ears. The same word repeated three times. crying up to God. Starts with an S. Those three words. After she shouted them, she took a deep breath. She blew that out. She shook her head. She got in the car and she left. I don't know if her prayers were answered. But like Hannah, who was praying in her great anxiety and vexation, this same woman was praying in the same, and they each got what they needed, and what they needed was the knowledge that they were heard. The great thing about prayer is that as we pray it out of our hearts, truthfully and sincerely, we come in contact with God in those moments. We are connected with the divine who hears our prayers regardless of what they are, happy, sad, angry, doubtful, content or yearning. We live in a life and a culture, and sometimes the culture of our Christianity is warped in that we tend to say when everything is going well and everything is feeling great and we're succeeding more than we're failing, we say things like, God is with me. But when life is not well, when everything's falling apart, when we've lost important things to us, when our health is going to the toilet, when we're failing more than we're succeeding, we look up to heaven and we say, where is God? The beautiful thing about the story of Hannah is that what we learn is that when we pray, whatever that prayer is or whatever it sounds like, we learn this truth. That is, God is still there. Holds us and loves us. I was reading a story last night about two young adults who love each other, and the woman, something was happening to her, and the man who loves her, she yelled at him really meanly. It was rough. And said some pretty awful, nasty things to him. And he walked away. He's not happy with what she said. She felt awful, and eventually, after time, was able to go up to him and ask for forgiveness. And his words were simple: "I can handle your bad days." And that truth is reflected in relationships we see all over in our lives. And if that's true about relationships, if we can handle each other's bad days, God can handle ours. God just wants us to approach God and to hold us tight and to remind us we are not alone. Hannah's prayer was not answered. Maybe this woman's prayer wasn't answered the way she wanted, but both of them felt relief because they knew God heard them. Cry out to God. Pray your prayers. Seek God even in your anger or frustration or doubt. And know this through the story of Hannah: God hears our prayers. God is there with us. And for that, we can rejoice, even if we may not feel like it. Let's close with this prayer. As we go about our day, O God, as we strive to walk with Jesus, remind us that we are the face of Christ, who is with us always. May your grace, mercy, and peace bless us, protect us, and transform us all this day, now and forever. Amen and amen. Go in peace, knowing that the love of God goes with you.